Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Chase Madar, who is a human rights attorney in New York, where he specializes in youth law, LGBT law, and disability law. He reports and reviews for the London Review of Books, Le Monde Diplomatique, Counterpunch, and Al Jazeera. His latest book just out is The Passion of Bradley Manning, The Story Behind the WikiLeaks Whistleblower. And his latest article at The Nation is Seven Myths About Bradley Manning. Welcome to Background Briefing, Chase Madar.
Thanks so much for having me on your wonderful show.
Well, thank you, Chase. And The Passion of Bradley Manning, give me a sense of where that title came from. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think anyone who has suffered and put their body and their mind on the line to get some truth across deserves a book like this. I mean, it's really one of the most hackneyed title formulas around. If you look up on Amazon or any library card catalog, you will find The Passion of Martin Scorsese, The Passion of Tiger Woods. I'm proud to say The Passion of Bradley Manning is currently outselling The Passion of Ayn Rand online. And I'm not trying to step on anybody's religious toes here or out to offend, but I do see Bradley Manning as a secular martyr, as a tragic hero of the Enlightenment who is trying to bring reason and critical thought to the bloody mess of U.S. foreign policy. And I think bloody mess is putting it gently. If you look at the disaster after disaster of the past dozen years of American statecraft.
So if one were to use the analogy of the Passion of Christ and his crucifixion, then would the United States military be the Romans?
I don't think you're stretching the metaphor very much by saying that.
Well, but as a lawyer, Chase, it's pretty clear, isn't it, that when you're in the military, you sign away your life. You're not a civilian anymore. There's a fundamental difference, isn't there, between military law and civilian law?
That's true. You do lose certain rights. That doesn't mean that you turn off your brain and become completely obedient. In fact, there's a military theorist who talks about liberal obedience. She teaches at a wonderful little liberal arts college in the Hudson Valley, scenic place, by the name of West Point. And even there, they grant some autonomy or believe that soldiers, even privates, should have some moral autonomy. There's a long tradition in the U.S. military of whistleblowers and truth-tellers and people refusing to obey illegal orders. This is not something that just started recently. And Bradley Manning is very much part of that tradition. Now, there's no doubt that he violated some military regulations. That's been pretty clear from the start in declassifying these documents without the proper authorization. And yet, I think it's a very good thing that he did so. We need to know what our government is doing. We have inflicted immense destruction and carnage overseas in Iraq and in Afghanistan, in large part because of government secrecy, distortion, and lies. We've also paid a heavy price ourselves in blood and money because of government secrecy, distortion, and lies. These leaks provide the kind of adult public supervision that our foreign policy elites so badly need.
But do you feel, as others do, Chase Madar, that Dick Cheney and George Bush and Rumsfeld and Rice et al., Feith, Wolfowitz, they should be in the dock?
Well, I think what they did was absolutely evil. Even though I'm a lawyer, I have a hard time adopting these legalistic fantasies of imagining trying Dick Cheney and W. Bush and Condi Rice for war crimes, because it's never going to happen. I look at it in a more political sense. And if in a just world, I think, yeah, they would be in the dock. I think they would be the ones being prosecuted for the horrible destruction and chaos and carnage that they have sown. Bradley Manning has done none of this, but he's taking the fall in the way for the past decade of disastrous foreign policy, the past decade of hundreds of thousands of civilian casualties and 4,500 Americans dead in Iraq and close to 2,000 in Afghanistan. It's just disgusting that the CIA torturers and none of Bush's war cabinet have paid any price, and yet the young private who brought some truth to light is the only one being prosecuted.
And again, I'm speaking with Chase Madar, a human rights attorney in New York, where he specializes in youth law, LGBT law, and disability law. He reports and reviews for the London Review of Books, Le Monde Diplomatique, Counterpunch, and Al Jazeera. And his latest book just out is The Passion of Bradley Manning, the story behind the WikiLeaks whistleblower. And his latest article at The Nation is Seven Myths About Bradley Manning. And, you know, the British did have an official inquiry into the Iraq War and its origins, and the United States has never had any reflection on what happened, this, you know, monstrously destructive war that Iran has won and China has won the oil. On every level, it's very difficult to see anything but a complete disaster for the United States and an ongoing disaster, and for the particularly for Iraq, which is a broken country. So will this trial in any way, as much as the government doesn't want to discuss the war itself, just the, in effect, it's a contract dispute, I take it, in the legal sense that Bradley Manning violated his contract of secrecy. But do you think that through the cracks, there'll be any kind of referendum on the war itself?
Unfortunately, not in the mainstream media. I mean, looking at the headlines from the past couple of days, Manning's court-martial just began yesterday, June 3rd. You see the media grasping, trying to pin Bradley Manning on bin Laden, claiming and swallowing a lot of the prosecution's line that that Bradley Manning helped Osama bin Laden because there were some WikiLeaks material found on Osama bin Laden's laptop. It's a bit like saying that Nike Shoes Corporation aided the enemy if they found a pair of vintage Air Jordans in bin Laden's closet. I mean, anyone in the world who had access to the Internet had access to these files and to these documents. I do think this trial is properly viewed as the pathetic and ugly final chapter in the whole ugly, sordid business of the Iraq War, a war that we rushed into disastrously in large part because of government secrecy, distortion, and lies, and is now closing with the prosecution of a truth teller in a court martial being conducted behind a very thick wall of more government secrecy distortion.
So just rather than repeat your article at The Nation, Chase Madar, Seven Myths About Bradley Manning, can you quickly sketch them out for our audience?
Okay, I'm trying to remember what I wrote yesterday. The first myth is that Manning leaked what he did because he's crazy and antisocial, or because he's gay, or because he's crazy and gay. This is the typical smearing of any whistleblower or political dissenter. It's the kind of thing that happened in the Soviet Union, where political dissenters were locked up in psychiatric hospitals. It's the kind of thing that the Nixon administration tried to do unsuccessfully to Daniel Ellsberg 40 years ago, when they sent their goons to break into Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office to dig up dirt on him. Manning's motives were political. He wrote very clearly that he thought people should see the truth no matter who they are, because without knowledge, you cannot make well-informed decisions as a public. And he hoped that his leaks would lead to, quote, worldwide debates, discussions, and reforms. Now, people are, of course, free to disagree about the consequences of the leaks, but the motive is very plainly stated. And, you know, Ian, we're a very depoliticized society, and that's why we have a hard time digesting this political motive. Instead, we rush to find or interpret a psychological motive, a sexual motive. This is how we pathologize and marginalize whistleblowers.
A couple of the other points you make are that WikiLeaks and Bradley Manning are utopian and that WikiLeaks is anti-American.
Yeah, this is something that's been missing in nearly all of the media coverage, the belief that Bradley Manning and WikiLeaks are utopian extremists. And in educated English, there's really no filthier curse word than to call someone utopian. I mean, that's like calling someone a naive, extremist, homicidal idiot. But who's utopian here and who's extreme? What Bradley Manning leaked is less than 1% of what Washington classifies in a given year. The real extremist in this picture is Washington with its cult of secrecy and its really runaway problem of overclassification. This is something that's widely acknowledged even by political officials who are not particularly sympathetic to Manning or to WikiLeaks. But we are classifying 92 million documents a year now, and it should be no wonder that the public decisions that we make, especially regarding war and foreign policy, are poorly informed and result in catastrophe. I mean, it's also a myth that these people are anti-American. I think Bradley Manning did what he did out of a deep sense of patriotic duty. He's neck deep as a young army private in Iraq and in the worst foreign policy disaster since Vietnam. And he thinks people should know what's actually happening there because, God knows, we're not getting very good reports or very critical reports from our media and certainly not from the government. And if you read WikiLeaks' mission statement, you don't find any anti-American cliches at all. They quote Thomas Jefferson. They quote U.S. Supreme Court decisions. It's a funny kind of anti-Americanism. This is just another cheap way to smear these people who have done a great public service to the world and above all to the United States.
And one of the other myths that you talk about, which has certainly been discussed a lot, is that Manning's leaks got people killed and damaged U.S. national security and national interests.
And this is really the most toxic myth. These accusations that WikiLeaks and Private Manning have blood on their hands. You know, the same people who are throwing this around are the U.S. government officials who led the way into Iraq and who kept us in Afghanistan and escalated the war there. Ian, I'll confess I'm a bit literal-minded, but I think what really has gotten people killed and put lives at risk is the act of war. It's invading Iraq, not telling the truth about the invasion and occupation of Iraq. It's escalating our war in Afghanistan, not telling the truth about how this war has actually been conducted. So far, there is not a shred of credible evidence of a single civilian or soldier being harmed because of WikiLeaks or Bradley Manning's leaks at all. This is a weird kind of externalization of guilt, you could say. I think the people who really have blood on their hands are Bradley Manning's accusers in the U.S. government, military, and media, for that matter.
And again, I'm speaking with Chase Madar, the author of the new book just out, The Passion of Bradley Manning, the story behind the WikiLeaks whistleblower. He also has an article at The Nation, Seven Myths About Bradley Manning. Now, there's no question that he is, Bradley Manning has been mistreated by the military initially when he was in country in Iraq. They put him in a cage like an animal. They've kept him in custody for 3 years in solitary confinement, so much so that the judge, U.S. judge intervened and called it cruel and inhuman treatment. I'd be curious to know how one could compare the treatment that Bradley Manning has got at the hands, particularly of the Marines. I believe when he went to Leavenworth, the Army eased up a bit. But it'd be interesting to know about how, for example, the Marine who killed that entire extended family of Afghans in a rampage, he just went out one morning and just shot up a whole, I think 11 Afghans were killed. Do you know anything about how he's being treated compared to how Bradley Manning's being treated?
Yeah, Robert Bales, who's the Marine from my home state of Ohio, who went on a shooting spree and killed many Afghan civilians, he's kind of the exception in that the military is actually prosecuting him aggressively. They're even seeking the death penalty. But he was not placed in solitary confinement, and he was not tortured the way Bradley Manning was for the first 11 months of his confinement. What's very instructive, though, is just how lax the response in the military is to the killing and the shooting of most civilians in wartime, especially in our recent wars. If you look at the Haditha massacre, where a Marine unit shot, very cold blood, a group of civilians clustered in a home, execution style, nobody in this Marine Corps unit suffered much punishment at all. Only one of them was ultimately convicted of anything, and that was just negligence in the course of duty. but he did not do any jail time. Military law is incredibly forgiving and infinitely accommodating when it comes to rape, when it comes to sexual assault, when it comes to shooting foreign civilians dead. On the other hand, there's this fantasy that the whole house of cards and the whole legal system in the military and military discipline will collapse if there is any kind of even slight flexibility for Bradley Manning. It's just perverse. If someone breaks the law in a way that is socially productive, then the law needs to be flexible. That's why we have pardons and commutations. Pretty much any legal system around the world does. On the other hand, when there is rape and murder, the law needs to be much stricter than it is now. But that just shows what a mess military justice is. As somebody said, military law is to law what military music is to music.
Well, just in closing, in the trial today, apparently Adrian Lamo, the hacker, who I believe was the snitch, if you will, the FBI, while they had him in custody, or he's apparently has a fairly extensive record of hacking into major corporations like Yahoo, the New York Times, Microsoft. But when the FBI caught him, they let him communicate with Bradley Manning. So both the prosecution and the defense had a go at Lamo, who quoted Bradley Manning as saying essentially that he called himself a broken soul. What do you make of that?
Oh, and this is Lamo describing Manning as a broken soul?
No, as Manning describing himself as a broken soul in communicating with Lamo. I mean, if you can believe anything that Lamo says,
yeah, if you can
given
believe
that he's
anything,
a snitch.
You know, I wouldn't read too much of that. Most 22-year-olds from the United States or in the United States are rather dramatic. I mean, adolescence lasts a good long time here. So I think this is the way a lot of people in their early 20s or late teens talk. I don't think Bradley Manning is a broken soul. This, I think he's a great soul, and I think he has performed a very noble service to the United States, and not just as a matter of high principles and high-mindedness, but as a very practical matter. The knowledge that we have, thanks to these leaks, is deeply enriched our understanding of what our government is doing, how our wars have really been, and they make it much more possible with this knowledge that we will avoid further disasters like the Iraq War and like the ongoing Afghan War. Poor Adrian Lamo, a lot of people hate him, you know, the informant who turned in Bradley Manning. Certainly don't find him very appealing, but I find him to be a deeply pathetic figure. I mean, this computer hacker, revered as kind of a genius in hacker circles, but if you're outside those circles, he looks like pretty much every other police informant, a convicted felon with a history of mental illness and some major issues.
Well, let me just say that I personally have no sympathy for hackers, because I'm at this very moment, my website, ianmaster.com, has been attacked for the last few days.
Oh, dear.
And severely attacked by a sophisticated onslaught, and we don't know where it's coming from. So I'd be the last person in the world to have any sympathy for hackers. Chase, we thank you very much for your book and for joining us here today.
Thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Chase Madar, who is a human rights attorney in New York, where he specializes in youth law, LGBT law, and disability law. He reports and reviews for the London Review of Books, Le Monde Diplomatique, Counterpunch, and Al Jazeera. And his latest book just out is The Passion of Bradley Manning, The Story Behind the WikiLeaks Whistleblower. And his latest article at The Nation is Seven Myths About Bradley Manning. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about the Rose Garden ceremony today, where the president presented three judicial nominees the Republicans are likely to yet again filibuster.
Heaven has only